Thank you for that introduction, Doug. I want to thank everybody for coming this evening, and especially thank all the people who took part in organizing this event. You know, it's really good to be in New York. We've traveled a good part of the country, and we just look forward to coming to New York. And thank you for making certain that the weather is like a cool Hawaii day. Thank you very much. Let me ask my wife, Rosa, to come up here and say a few words. She has a different perspective than I do on a number of things, and so I want her to share her words with you.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. First of all, let me thank you so very much for being here. To the organizers, to put this together, to have this nice event in New York City. As Bob said, the weather is so nice and it's not frightening us for being so cold and very far from home. We are very, very proud for what Erin has done, because I want to let you know that Erin is a very bright young man. He's very well spoken, he's very good looking, but above everything, he is very, very brave for standing up and refuse to go to Iraq, and standing up not for himself, standing up for each one of us. Thank you. He's standing up to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. He wants to bring the troop back home immediately and to end this illegal occupation of Iraq. That's why we are so proud of him, that we are behind him and we are supporting him 100%. Because we know of all the years to come that he has done the right thing. And that's why we are really, really proud of him. So again, thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much, Rosa. I thank the Vietnam War for giving me the opportunity to meet Rosa. In the Vietnam era, of course, I was very, very bitterly opposed to that war. And in those days, we had something called a draft, where all of us young people that were leaving college had to make some decision in order to get out of the draft. And my decision was, of course, to join the Peace Corps. So I joined the Peace Corps and I went to Peru, and that's where I met Rosa in 1965. Dave talked about the Vietnam War, and that was a real tragedy. I just have to mention that after 3 million people were killed, Robert McNamara several years ago said it was a tragic error. Over 3 million Vietnamese, Cambodians, and Laotians were killed, and over 60,000, maybe 70,000 American sons and daughters were killed. And we have to sit back and say, why? And it took people like Dave and Doug to bring that war to an end. It's disturbing that it takes the soldiers themselves, their conscience, the morality that we're a civilized country and we just don't do those kinds of things, to kill people indiscriminately. And we're very proud of Erin, because he recognized the 655,000 Iraqis thus far that have been killed, and several thousand American men and women who are killed and at a rate of 100 Iraqis a day, and 2 to 3 Americans are being killed every day. And again, we have to ask ourselves, why? why. Everybody asks me, and I thank you very much. The first question people ask me is, you know, how is Aaron? And we just talked to him a couple of hours ago, and he's doing real good. He's assigned to ICOR, which is administrative unit in Fort Lewis, Washington. And I asked him, what do you do every day? And he says, push paper. That's all he does. He just pushes paper. He lives off base, and he goes off and on base every day. It's like a 9-to-5 job. So he's kind of taking it easy. At least I tell him he's kind of taking it easy. He thinks he's working hard. He's also emotionally very strong. He feels very good about what he did. You know, when you make a real tough decision in your life and you feel that you've done the right thing, then you feel very confident about yourself, and that's how Aaron feels. He feels like, you know, in fact, the other day we were talking, and he says, you know, Dad, if I had to do this over again, I would still do it over, and 20 years from now, I'll still feel like I did the right thing. And I told him, Aaron, you're right, you know. You're right. I agree with you that you did the right thing, and you know I love you for it, and I'm very proud of you. People also ask, well, how do the other soldiers at the base treat him? And surprisingly, Aaron says, hey, everybody's cool. They're very professional about him. They know who he is, and in fact, he says, you know. All the time, soldiers are coming up and telling him very quietly, they're saying, thank you, Aaron, thank you for what you're doing for us. Because they know what Aaron has done is an attempt to bring soldiers home much sooner by getting the truth out about what's going on in Iraq. And so they thank him for that. In fact, the day he was telling me that one soldier came up to him and said, you know, Aaron, I would be doing the same exact thing that you're doing, but I've got two kids, so I can't do it. So Aaron says, yeah, I know, I understand. That's why I'm doing this. People always ask me, well, you know, was Aaron special as a child? And I say, no, he's very, very normal. You know, AYSO, youth soccer, youth baseball, Boy Scouts. He was an Eagle Scout, played tennis in high school and graduated from high school and then went off to college. He went to Whitworth College in Spokane, and he tells me, this is a private college up there, and he keeps saying, well, you know, there's just not enough courses in this school, and I've got to move. I think it was too cold because he eventually came back to Hawaii and finished up at Hawaii Pacific University and got a degree in business administration. This was in 2003, early 2003, and Aaron and I discussed a number of issues, a number of options about what he should be doing in the future. And one of the things that, of course, he said that, you know, he's concerned about the terrorists. Remember all the terrorists are supposed to be everywhere? As George Bush said, you know, there's terrorists everywhere. And so Aaron, for very patriotic reasons, like a lot of young men, said, you know, Dad, I've got to do something to serve my country. And this is why he joined the military, to serve his country, to be very patriotic, to do his duty for his country. He joined in early 2003 and went to basic training and was selected for officer school. Then artillery school, then he went to Korea for 1 year. After coming back from Korea, he was assigned to Fort Lewis, Washington. And this is where, you know, he found out that he would be assigned to a striker brigade and would be deploying to Iraq in about a year. Initially, he was okay with that, but then, you know, the commanders told him, Aaron, you know, you should know everything that's going on in Iraq, all about war, and all about the battles that are going on, because you have to explain to your men why they may have to give their lives for their country. And so study he did, and this is where he, you know, as he said to me, he says, you know, he felt really betrayed about, you know, the president lying about the weapons of mass destruction, lying about chemical and biological weapons, lying about the existence of Al-Qaeda terrorists in Iraq. Of course, you know, I'm a father, and I'm saying, Aaron, you know, that's all right. You know, politicians always lie, so don't worry about it. But he says, no, this is really something much more than that. You know, he says, we have a president who believes that he's above the law. And it's just violated the Constitution, violated international treaties that the United States has signed on to. And we were part of even writing some of these treaties. And yet we have a president that feels that he's a war president or king, we're not certain, but can do anything he wants to do. And Aaron is very disturbed by this. And we've always taught him that we're a country of laws. We have a constitution, and everybody has to follow the constitution. And here is one person, the president, violating everything about the democracy that he's always believed is correct. You know, the civil rights and the human rights that we have. Violating the constitution, as he said, to commit crimes of aggression. Violating the constitution to commit crimes against the peace. Violating the constitution to commit crimes against humanity. I mean, just really gross violations. You've heard of the Shock and Awe campaign, where it's estimated that in the first 2 days over 10,000 civilians were killed. This is what is really bothering Aaron. You know, maybe the president lies, maybe the president cheats on the Constitution, but what is happening to the people? And this is what's starting to bother him the most, you know. He's reading about Abu Ghraib, the torture of civilians, and he's reading the Lancet study that said this time last year that over 100,000 Iraqis have been killed, innocent Iraqis, men, women, and children. And as you heard what he said, he had to give a voice to these people. These people are not the invented insurgents of Rumsfeld. They're people who are sitting in their living rooms, walking down the streets, doing nothing more than just wanting to have a life, and for some reason they're killed. And as Aaron said, you know, for every person that's killed, there's a mother, there's a father, there's a child left behind, there's siblings, and this is starting to get to him. And one day he's telling me about a unit that comes back to Fort Lewis, minus 32 men. And he's saying, you know, why is this happening? You know, this is all wrong that we're doing this. And it's at this point that he, along here, we've been talking about this for some time, and he's decided that he has to tell his command that he's not going to go to Iraq. He refused to deploy. One night he told me that he was listening to the radio, and there was an interview with a man that was crying. He was crying because his son had been to Iraq for a year, and he came back and he said, there's something terribly wrong with my son, yet they want to send him back again. And they said, and this man said, you know, will somebody stand up? Will somebody do something? And it's at that point, that moment, that Aaron said, I guess that's me. And so he told me that, you know, it's that night that he wrote this letter to the command. And he made a number of attempts, not be deployed to Iraq, either by resigning or by being assigned to some other unit, not going to Iraq, but then he was denied all of these opportunities. So on June 22 of this year, when the Striker Brigade deployed for Iraq, he refused to get on the plane, and he was charged with missing a movement. We did find out, he was also charged with making contemptuous statements. He was also charged with conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman. We did find out yesterday, and I was just talking to him a little while ago, that the command did move these charges forward to a general court-martial. At least two of the charges. One is missing a movement, and the other for disloyalty, for conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman. There are four counts in that. So we don't know when the court-martial is going to happen. probably in January, as our attorney said, but as our attorney said, we are going to put the war on trial if they want to pursue this. So that's where we are today. Thank you very much for coming.
So thanks, everybody. We're going to pass the hat now. Once I had arranged the 25 cities, the 50-odd venues, it fell to me to book our airfare. And Bob handed me his family's credit card. And I booked over $9,000 in airfare to go to all these different places. And I think this is just the beginning of it, actually. I think that this family, who's been home once since July, very briefly, has been on tour all of this time. We'll probably stay on tour till we end this war. And so I'm going to ask you all to help us with covering the airfare to getting to all these 25 cities, and for Aaron's legal defense fund as well. If you're used to making a $20 contribution, please make a $50 contribution. There's got to be folks in this audience who can write a $250 or even a $500 check to the Hawaii People's Fund to help us in this struggle. It's all of our struggle. Growing up as a Southern Baptist, at one time prayed I'd never have to stand before an audience and ask them for money. But it's my pleasure to ask you to help with this. And folks have been very generous in all the states that we've been in so far, and I know that you will tonight. So we're going to pass a collection plate around, and I'll be walking around with it. And thank you very much.